Good afternoon, good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned into Radiance by Design. What does radiance mean? You know, what we're trying to learn to be is conscious and more conscious about how we radiate into the world. What is our, not our footprint, because that's important, but our vibrational imprint into the world and into the grand collective. How can we improve it? How can we be one whose radiance into the world is a contribution, not a detriment? And so Radiance by Design, the show, a call-in show all about you. I love it when you call in. We seem to have had a problem recently with busy signals on the phones. So what I'd like you to do is persevere. If you're getting busy signals on the phone, I want to hear about it, and I want us to call. Hi, and Dawn reminded me that you'll always get a busy signal if I have another guest on the line. So listen carefully, but I really love it when you call in. In fact, I'd like you to call in today especially because we're talking about consciousness, and this is the Christmas time. This is the time of year where it's dark outside. There's a lot of turbulence going on politically. There's a lot of weird energies going on. There's a lot of deep emotional report from past experiences and so on. It's a rather chaotic time and a wonderful time and a scary time and a lonely time and a rich time and a poor time. I really want us to talk about consciousness and how to stabilize ourselves, how to really foment higher consciousness out in the world. I've been fascinated lately playing with the observer. You know, we all know in quantum physics that they're talking about the observer all the time, that the observer changes the reality. So I've been talking with myself and my guides a lot lately, and when we're working with healing, and again, that's another level and layer of consciousness, when we're working with healing, we've been working on really observing the situation and watching it change. So we're going to play with that today. I like to present what my guides have taught me, which are the vibrational structures, sacred geometric structures. And I've got myself on my website in a little wee video. It's even on YouTube now, doing sacred geometric structure meditation. So for those of you who find it goes through too fast, you can go onto my website, veronicaentwistle.com. That's no H in Entwistle, veronicaentwistle.com. And when you click on meditations, I think it's the first out of three meditations that are presented there. So let me know what you think of that as well. Excuse me. And I'm finding that these vibrational structures, which are actually formation of energy, like a room, an energy room in which you can manifest better, you can clear better, you can do your healing better. I call a section of my healing energy the going into the galactic healing room. And we are learning a whole lot of things show up, and a whole lot of beings will show up, perhaps, or a whole lot of energy will show up in the context of these structures. And also the structures form a meditative force, which is a way to center and separate yourself from the chaotic energies that are coming at you and in you and around you. We need to center, drop into the center of who we are, touch our own inner consciousness, and create the consciousness we prefer for our sake and for the sake of all humanity. We got a big job ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to start with our sacred geometric structures, and we're going to talk consciousness, and then we're going to have as many of you call in as we can get. What do you think of that? Happy December 16th. It's not very far into the great Yule festivities, and I'm not sure when the Hanukkah and all of that is. Somebody can phone in and tell me. All right, so let's do our clearing meditation. Are you ready? Close your eyes unless you're driving or walking down the street that has a really nice steep side to the sidewalk. Don't close your eyes under those circumstances. All right, take a few deep breaths to clear your energy. Another one. Now call forth an awareness of a great galactic center away out there. And you know that you've been somehow involved with that center. and draw a crystalline tube from the galactic center down through your skull, through your spine, all the way into the core of the earth. And now, above your head, perhaps 2 to 4 miles, a golden ball. Create a golden ball that is very, very radiant. And below your spine, about 40 feet, I guess, another golden ball that is extremely radiant. And now draw your beautiful crystal tube coming from the galactic center. It's already there. It's already running through the golden balls. So let's run through inside of that crystalline tube. Let's run a filament of gold light, a beautiful radiant filament of light, and have that light run right through your tube into the lower golden ball. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist high, drop a four-sided pyramid. And that's going to have 4 pointy parts. Have a point at the front, at the back, side to side. And on each point, a golden ball. And now an upside-down four-sided pyramid that matches. The golden ball of every point is also the golden ball of every point of the upside-down pyramid. So you've got yourself in an 8-sided figure called an octahedron. And inside of your octahedron, have a crystal ball, the outside edges of which touch the inside edges of your structure. Good work. And now inside of that, you want to be in a star tetrahedron. And it's like a Star of David, only it's 3-dimensional. And now spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin your Star of David, your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin. And as you do, create in front of you a beautiful, magical screen. Now on that screen, we're going to make little movies of what it is. It's our own little YouTube. It's my self-tube. We're going to create movies in which we see, feel, smell, know all kinds of circumstances that we want to create in our lives. So let's start off with something about yourself. And the frequencies are moving up between now and 2012. We've heard it's going to be like 20 times as high frequency as it is now. And as it moves through, I pray always, always on this structure to see myself being much more multidimensional. I don't know what you want, but I always start with that. You do it your way. And let's see resources. Resources, not only money, but all resources flowing in us, through us, around us. See yourself attracting resources. Wonderful. Remember to feel this. Don't need to ask a lot of questions of like how, just feel it coming. And now let's move on to a project that you want to create. A book, a dance, a home, a relationship, a marriage, children, creative businesses, and whatever. Just see yourself experiencing that opportunity and making it work and really enjoying it and unfolding your own creative potential in it, clearing a lot of stuff, old stuff. Excellent. Now, let's do some healing work. Here's where we stop for a minute and ask our guides and angels to bring in the beings of light and truth and consciousness that we want to work with, that want to work with us to help us heal and learn to heal. Now we're in the galactic healing room on our little magical screen. And the galactic healing room has a chair, maybe a recliner chair, or it has a table, or it has whatever you darn well want in there. And we're calling in those beings who help you. And they surround the chair or the table. Whenever I do this with a group that I work with, everybody gets a different image, and that's really exciting. So see what images unfold on your television or your magical screen. Now let's put yourself on the chair or the table and ask for healing for yourself, and tell me what happens there. Now, healing can be anything. Maybe it means body, mind, spirituality, relationship, teeth, toenails. Good. And ask what it is that you're going to work on. And watch how they work on you. Pretty exciting, isn't it? Do you feel something? Now, because it's our magical screen, and you're magical, and so am I, and we're learning more and more about that, it's being conscious of being magical, isn't it? So what we're going to do is ask if they'll continue with the healing until it's done, but we're going to close that section of our vision, and we're going to ask to do some work on someone else. So let's bring in somebody you know needs help or needs healing. Call them in and always ask their permission. Do they want to be worked on today? And they're either going to be lying in the chair, lying in the on the table or being in the chair, or maybe they can stand. I don't know what the circumstance is. Yeah, and ask your beings. Your healing team. I know of a new baby. There are twins that were just born, and there's some danger for the little boy who's born at 3.5 pounds. So I have him on this tiny wee table, and they're working with him. And we're asking them to continue with this healing as we shift and bring someone else in. All right. Have this person either sit or lie down. And see what your healing team wants to do with that person. My person is actually very, very frustrated and has a lot of darkness in herself and is trying to transform and keeps going around and around difficult situations without seeming able to transform. Who are you working on? And what they're doing is kind of vacuuming out this kind of funny, darker frequency that she's been stuck with. And someone's working on her brain, perhaps the temporal lobe just inside, right into the center of the brain, in fact, mostly on the left. And the goal is that she's able to move through these transformations with ease, without fighting herself. And in believing in herself. Now let's leave her being healed by these beings of light. I see some really interesting characters in my healing team. Who do you see? So let's move back into the star tetrahedron. Oh, you might want to thank the healing team. And there's one thing I forgot to do in the structure, which we need to do again. The final thing we're going to do in that healing structure today is we're going to do a healing on the world political situation. What is it you see that really needs some help, some light, some harmonizing for the world political situation? It's as if you can miniaturize the situation and put it right in our galactic healing center, knowing that we have these beings of consciousness around the table. It's on the surgery table now. The whole world is. What do you think of that? The whole world political situation is on the surgery table. And the beings of light, truth, consciousness, and amazing technology are applying their principles of truth, love, harmonizing, honesty, respect, respect for all of life. And now there's this rising pink light. And have this pink light rise and then arrive in, for example, Washington, D.C., the White House, the Pentagon, flows and flows into the White House, surrounds everyone there, and the Pentagon surrounding all the beings that are in the government. And have it surround those people, the CIA and the FBI and the Blackwater beings, and just touch them all with the harmonizing consciousness, with the consciousness light that harmonizes. And let's move our pink light to places in which there's an extreme reaction, like Iraq. And you take a few minutes to choose the places you want to take this pink light to, and then just radiate it to those places. Mm-hmm. And now circle it round and round and round the earth, round and round and round the earth, so the earth is in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger of rebirth. And that swaddling clothes are all radiant pink. And even those beings who are hovering around us in spacecraft and being cloaked so we can't see them, a lot of us are hearing a lot about those lately, are really touched by the fact that we're a very harmonized planet. What do you think of that? And now we take some of that pink light inside of yourself and run it through your body-mind like a core of harmony. And we can consciously create a very harmonious self, and that's what we're aiming to do, because harmony is a great way to step ahead and evolve. Now move back into your star tetrahedron and let's spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin and spin. Good. Now you can step back out into the room with me. Are you a little bit dizzy? I always get a bit dizzy when I spin in this. So I'm going to give you the numbers and ask you to call in. Let's talk about whatever it is you're dealing with right now. How are the holidays for you? Whether or not you experience Christmas, it doesn't matter. It's just the whole holiday season and the collective are really awkward right now. And there's so much going on as far as consciousness goes. We're trying to grow and stretch. We can talk about the observer and how the observer makes a difference. Let's take a look at the world and see how we can see that. Let's talk about healing of all kinds. And talk about your circumstances and how we can help you make changes with that. So call in at 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. 888-810-8322. I don't think I've heard from Canadians for a while. Where are you all? I'll repeat that one, 888-810-8322. And from anywhere else in the universe, the direct line is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. So when we talk about consciousness, I'm having a really good time reading some books by Patricia Pereira. I think I mentioned these last week. Her books are called Arcturian Chronicles. I've had the fourth book, Masters of Light, or Songs of, I can't remember what the fourth one is called exactly, but they're called the Arcturian Chronicles. And what she says, they were channeled in the early mid-90s, and I didn't read all of the rest of them until right now. And what she says, what she is channeling through, is that there are so many vessels and vehicles of ships that are hovering all around the earth. But what she says that's really beautiful, she says that they're bringing colored lights of harmonizing lights, healing lights, and all this kind of thing. And what she's talking about in the book that's so interesting is that she says, I'm not saying I espouse all of this, okay, but you and I have both pondered many, many different sources of information, much learning, and we've learned about the Illuminati, we've learned about the dark forces that come from the global elite and all of that. Anyway, in this one it says that we've been falling prey to the dark lords, but that it's going to we're going to come out of that. And because this is written in the early mid-90s, I'm kind of interested in the way she talks about the future of the planet and what's going to happen. She's talking about the fabric of our economic world on the global level is going to break down fully. I'm like, wow, well, we've already had some of that, haven't we? And she's talking about how when we were sort of besieged by the dark lords who kind of owned it, it was a very difficult time for us as human beings. And what we did is we lived lives that went basically into really deep and very repetitive, painful, self-protective, combative ways of getting along. And what she's saying is that we need to come to a point where we're going to rise out of that. But she says that these little, she's calling them Arcturian ships that are all over that. It's from Arcturus, which is a planet in the Little Dipper, it's right at the end, by Boots. And Arcturus is a place where beings come that are very they're energy beings. We're all energy beings, so that seems to be their shtick. And that these are hovering around trying to impose or imbue our species with a lightening, with a rising consciousness, with energy that's moving up. And so what we've been talking about, I work with Jackie Salvitti and her wonderful team on Thursday nights, and they've been teaching, this is Osiris, and other beings have been teaching, how we can step out of huge waves of shame. Shame is a really low vibrating energy which keeps us preventing ourselves from actually flying high because we're so busy beating ourselves up. We don't release things and we don't move to a higher level. So what I was understanding as I'm reading this book is how amazing it is that we're moving up and out of a really dense frequency, which she says is imposed, or her channeling says has been imposed by our consorting with the Dark Lords. It's a very interesting series of books. It's very, very uplifting and highly charged. One of the sections I was reading in the first book today was all about learning to trust. And she says that we need to learn to trust one another in such a way that we're always lifting and trusting each other. There's no combative, there's no suspicion, there's none of this, none of that. I'm like, wow, how can we get to that point? And that's exactly what they say after a while. I bet you're wondering how you can get to this point. Well, it takes a lot of consciousness. It takes you being centered in the higher, knowing that we're evolving and we're moving to a much higher level will help us to be able to reach out and be kinder and more trusting of people around us. I really recommend those books. They're outrageously good. as far as observation goes, I've been finding it really interesting in healing work lately, really just sitting with people and looking at their illnesses or their injuries and so on. And, we've learned about the plasticity of the brain, which is part of our consciousness as well. Is consciousness is a moving situation. Consciousness is when our thought processes can move in awareness that we're all one, or that we can feel and sense and know the fields, the dynamic fields around our planet and around the universe. We can move into those and not simply be attached to third-dimensional things and stuff and opposition one to the other. So in observation and in the plasticity of the brain, there is an unfoldment. So what we've heard, and I heard that the matrix energetics people talk about this as well, we've heard recently that if somebody's got a sore or some kind of stomach ache or so on, if you really get calm and you call in the presence of the beingness around you and you look and you really observe that problem, very often it'll begin to soften and it'll begin to melt. The power of the observer is amazing. I had a stomachache the other day, so I was doing that too. And Sri Aurobindo and the mother, I'm kind of wandering through all these different teachers lately in a effort to really understand consciousness and where it's all going. But anyway, Sri Aurobindo and the mother, who work as a team, or did before they crossed over, they talk about, or the mother talks about, how in observation you can heal almost everything, but some things like teeth are, if you observe teeth problems, for example, it can take quite a long time. And I'm not sure why. My question would be then, why on earth would it have to take a long time if it's a matter of being really conscious and observing? Who cares if it's a tooth or what? I'm just prattling along here, so if you're not going to phone, you have to put up with this, don't you? Let me take a look at who's out there. Okay. I see somebody standing who's really questioning a lot of things in her life. I feel this, that this person is questioning her power. What is it to have power? Can we be conscious of power in our world? What is it to have power? So I'm looking at this person who's standing, and she's hesitant, and she's indecisive, and she's got a knot at her throat and a very large heart, which is open and, again, indecisive about its way of going forward. Isn't that an interesting vision? Oh, my, I want to look at this person a little longer and ask her if she can feel the presence of the observer. That would be the ticket, wouldn't it? And then you have to phone in and tell me if you do. And I'm realizing that this person has some grand doubts about herself and the right. I see. So there's a problem here with consciousness. If consciousness is something that really belongs to somebody who's high and mighty, then you don't have a right to have it. This person seems to have some of that issue going on. And also, what is it, and how do I get to a higher consciousness? Well, I think we all know this, that, and in her case, I'd say it's really true, that the meditation, the movement, the breathing, the focus, the visualization, the sending thought forward, all of that really brings you forward in consciousness. Oh, goody. I'm tired of just chatting here, and you're on the air. It's your turn.
Hi, Veronica. This is Kim from Louisiana.
Hi. How are you doing? Are you conscious today?
Yeah, I would say I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, pretty conscious.
Good. What's up with you, girl?
I just wanted to call in and say thank you and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And have a wonderful holiday season yourself.
Yeah, you've been one of my brightest blessings in the past 12 months.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope, I've rediscovered I lost two of my favorite people last year, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've pulled in two of my other favorite people this year who had kind of left my life, and, one's male, one's female, and the female friend is kind of rediscovering a friendship that we hadn't connected for like 16, 17 years, and it's been so delightful because we're soul sisters and we're on the same path.
Wonderful.
I wish that for everybody.
You know what's really interesting, Kim, is it looks like you needed that time. You know how we almost need to go in two different paths in order to come back to the same place. She had to work out a lot of stuff, and you had to work out a lot of stuff, right?
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
and how's your love life?
Okay, so he isn't quite yet here, okay, but my divorce, he's very old-fashioned. My divorce was just official, like, I just found out yesterday.
Oh, great. Proud of you, huh?
I'm so excited. I'm so happy. And he's really still busy with work, but I know he's right around the corner. And it's the same guy that you've been reading. You've read him two or three times, and I think he's doing really much, much better. And I'm very excited.
Well, I feel like he's grown a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, me too.
Have you seen him at all?
Well, I saw him briefly for about like an hour in a work situation in mid-July, And then I've seen him on YouTube, and then because of what he does. And then I've seen him, a friend of mine saw him on TV tonight. So, he looks
Is he famous? Is he somebody we should all know?
No. He's somebody you would know, like what he does. Locally,
okay.
He has some fame.
Oh.
Yeah. But he's looking good.
Good. How's your son?
Yeah, John Michael's doing really, really well.
Good.
Really well. And I'm really, really proud of him.
I want to say this about you, Kim, and you're really a good ad for me talking about consciousness, because your energy is now a lot more centered and your light is growing strongly upward. It used to bounce around and be in and out and all of that, but you've really worked your way through quite a few things over this last year, haven't you?
Yeah, I really have. And I think just getting out of that bad marriage was a real blessing.
Well, it's interesting because I was watching a woman who is not you, and I still see her out there. And one of the things that prevents our consciousness a lot of the times is our indecision or the decision-making process, where we're wondering if we should stay, we're wondering if we should leave, we're wondering where the truth is, how do we figure it out for sure, how do we do it. And I think that really stops us from paying attention to a lot of more advanced thought, don't you think?
I think it can sometimes. I think compassion is a really, really important thing. And I think that love and understanding is a really important thing. And you can love and understand someone and offer them as much compassion as possible, but you don't necessarily have to live with them in your face 24/7. And sometimes the most compassionate and loving thing you can do is to let them go and do their own thing.
And when did you move out?
I actually had to move out I moved out October 21st of 07. In Louisiana, you have to be legally separated for one full year if you have a child under 12. So I couldn't even file for divorce until October 22nd this year.
Hmm.
So.
Well, I just want to say this also, that it took you quite a while for to get the fields. You know, when you live with somebody, we interact with their energy fields and the consciousness is shared, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And it took quite a while for you to separate your energy fields from his.
Right, absolutely.
Not as long as some people, but, you know, it's kind of interesting to look at you and see how different you are.
I think that John Michael's still having some trouble with that because he spends a lot more time with his dad, but I think it's going to be good in the long run. I think he's growing. He knew what he came in for, and he's doing good.
I think he's also extremely sensitive and very, very bright, and he has to energetically complete something with his dad before he can really separate his fields as well. He has a lot of compassion for his dad.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and they have to, children do better when they're, still involved with the father, don't they?
I would think that at this point it's the best thing.
Yeah.
It might not be the best thing in every case, and it might not be the best thing forever. But for right now, his dad seems to me to be mentally stable enough to be able to handle it, so.
Well, I'm glad. What are you going to do for Christmas?
Well, I'm hoping my fella shows up on Christmas Eve, but I'm going to drive home to Ohio from Louisiana on Christmas Day. I'm hoping to beat some of the traffic, and John Michael will be with one set of grandparents on Christmas morning, and then in the afternoon, he and I are going to head to Ohio. So I'm hoping for good weather.
Well, I think you're going to have a lovely, lovely, lovely time. And remember, it's a season of rebirth, whether you do Christmas or all the other things, you know. It really is a season. Yeah. So I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Veronica. And have a blessed holiday season and a happy new year.
And you, too. And new beginnings all over.
Yes, for you, too. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's really interesting because sometimes you have to pretty much harvest your own, consciousness of self. Sometimes it takes a gargantuan effort to pull away from whatever is the energy of your collective in the time, like whether you're at home and breaking up your home or whether it's just something you grew up with. It takes quite a while to pull yourself out of an energetic influence. And she's really done a great job with that. So have many of you. I'm going back to my friend here who's got all this indecision. She's starting to pull herself back into center. But, you know, when we're flying inside with a lot of indecision, it's really difficult to be conscious. I find it quite interesting because this person feels on a heart level that she's quite eviscerated, meaning she's got no idea. It's the oddest vision that they're showing me, this particular person, because it's like her heart chakra is empty and she's seeking some way of filling it up. So we'll see if you're the caller that I'm reading. You're on the air.
Hello, Veronica.
Hi.
This is Brian from Indiana.
Hi, Brian from Indiana. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been a while. What's new in your world?
Well, I have a question for you.
You look like you're sad and tired, Brian.
I was just taking a big sigh of relief. I finally get to talk to you.
well, I'm glad you called in.
Thank you. My question is for you. I was just wanting to know, I'm starting to have a lot of intense dreams lately.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, the dreams that I've been having are more vivid, more like, the certain dream that I had was, I'm feeling this intensity in this vivid dream that I had where I was talking with a group of people and I was overtaken by something coming through, kind of like channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was opening the channel, but I was starting to pull it, like I was starting to fade out, where I was starting to black out, you know, when the channel goes under, you know, the consciousness, put the consciousness aside for the others to come through, or the entity or whatever comes through. Well, that's what was happening in my dream. And I was trying to hold on because I wanted to find out the reaction to the people around me. So I was trying to hold on. I wasn't trying to let go. So it's like a little struggle I have. It was just kind of very interesting.
Do you have any idea if you liked what came through or what was spoken or what was said?
Yes, it was starting to come through, and it was almost like a semi-state channeling. It wasn't the full-body trance channel. But I wanted to, at the same time, I wanted to hold on like I was starting to go into a full-body trance in my dream state very vividly. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to hold on to it because I wanted to see the reaction. See how I was going to be received by the others around me.
Did you get an answer for that?
No, I didn't, because I couldn't hold on to it, you know. I just kind of, like, woke up.
Did you feel any euphoria?
What's that?
Did you feel any euphoria?
Yeah,
or
it felt like a tremendous energy, like a sensation, like you're floating in a way, like you're being pulled one way or the other, like a dropping sensation.
So you enjoyed it?
Interesting. What's that?
So you enjoyed it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Very much.
And
there's always a little fear in it. But, you know, I feel like I'm on the verge of something wonderful, you know?
Well, you're meditating, you're sorting yourself out, you're doing a lot of clearing work, are you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, because it looks to me like it's just a direct message from another aspect of your being. You know, dreams can be completions, dreams can be prophetic, dreams can be this and that, but in this case, it looks like it's a direct presentation of a higher level of yourself. It's like you're practicing and you're engaging an aspect of your nature. Have you done channeling?
Kind of like just a little bit, not like just speaking things that I usually don't talk about, just coming very, like, saying it through forcefully. Which I say, where did that come from sometimes? Just every once in a while, not all the time, you know. But
what
I
is the people reaction when that happens?
No one was around me. I was talking to myself.
Oh.
I was in contemplation with myself.
Oh, that's where you get your kindest feedback, right?
Yeah, it was like I was saying, asking myself questions, and then I was giving myself the answer. I know people say you shouldn't, you know, talk to yourself, but, you know, I think that's a good thing every once in a while, you know.
Oh, I love talking
because
to myself.
Your answers, it's like contemplating consciously.
But there's a whole other thing, too. If you are bringing through spirit, if you're bringing through your guides, it's wonderful to sit and talk to them.
I remember we chatted before long ago about the way you saw me channeling was more as a knowingness, a claircognizant instead of, you know, going into a deeper state. But I don't know. It just seems like something else is coming through, you know?
Do you mind going into a deeper state? Does that appeal to you?
To be very honest with you, I would love it.
Okay. Then you're probably headed in,
yeah,
you're going to head in that direction. Just keep meditating so that you can be, vigilant about what's coming through.
Yeah, because something's happening when I'm going into my meditation. I feel a strong rotation, like we call the rotating fields of light, like the Merkaba. I feel that pulling sensation. It's like my whole body is spinning. You know what I mean?
That's great.
And I feel something's coming, you know? It's just, I guess the only fear that I have in doing that is where I will end up consciously or subconsciously. It's just the end.
Wait. How are you going to gauge that? You're the one who's steering the ship, right?
Yeah, and that's the fear is like, where do I direct that energy? It's like, okay, if the thought pops in and I want to go this way or that way, you know, where will I? I guess it's the unknown, but that's the joy of it. I guess the beauty of it is.
Well, the thought pops in. Where will it take you? I mean, it gets pretty obvious. I would say, and I don't know if this is what you're actually talking about there, but in my own work when I do channeling and so on, if I feel weighed down or if things get heavy, I like to get out of the channel. I don't stay there.
Oh, okay.
And it's like there are times when I'm by myself or I'm doing work with people.
Yeah.
You have to crank it back up. You have to say if it's not, it's kind of simple because it's hard to know where the mechanics of this thing are, but I think they're just in our back to consciousness where you move back up. If it's low, you can tell it's low. It weighs you down. It's dense.
Right. So it's always stay in the higher frequency.
Yeah, so you say, I don't know where it's taking me. I say, well, you're going to take it. You need to be the one who says.
The driver, yeah.
Intent. You really need to, because there's a lot of nonsense out there, you know?
Yes.
And you can always tell. If you keep track of what comes through, you can tell whether it's absolute nonsense or whether you're getting guidance.
Yes. Thank you, Veronica. And by the way, I wanted to let you know real quick, I have been listening to you and Jackie Savitti on Thursdays, and it's wonderful, that show that you guys are sharing together for the world.
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for the feedback.
Amy, you're welcome. And you have a wonderful, you and Bob have a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year.
Many blessings and keep on the good work.
Thank you, Veronica. Bye-bye.
Bye now. See, that's interesting. It's like we can choose when you're channeling, for example, or when you're connecting to people energetically, it takes quite a bit of consciousness, but you can actually choose what it is you want to do. And that's probably, I'm going to go back to my friend who was very indecisive. I'm saying to her that we're going to send her love. We're going to send love to her and fill her heart. And that indecisiveness about what she is able to deserve is can be giving way to these light fields that are coming to her, because, of course, we all deserve love. Some people are really, really hurt and don't feel that they deserve it because somebody said, you don't deserve it, right? But anyway, we can send light to somebody instead of let them hop from one foot to the other, not knowing how on earth they're supposed to be able to be loving or to feel loved. And in Brian's case, when you open to channeling, I say to everybody, you got to be really careful. You got to clear yourself. I used to find that psychically, if I had chocolate and coffee, then most of my information would be dark. I would actually get a dark feeling in my third eye. So there's a lot of those kinds of sensitivities that you need to have regular evacuation of your intestinal tract, or else it clutters up what you're seeing, hearing, and experiencing. And if your frequencies are low, you're going to attract low-frequency energies. Now, some people will be absolutely derelict, and all of a sudden they get really high-frequency energies coming through. I don't know about that. I know in most cases, the more plebeian of us who are channeling, then you have to be the one who's in charge. Consciousness is like that. You want to focus your brain, focus your attraction, and focus your purpose when you're working with consciousness, and that's how we get more conscious. Conscious means I'm awake at what I'm doing and thinking and experiencing and being. And here we are coming into this great festive holiday season. And being really conscious right now is wonderful because there are so many people in need, so many people wishing to feel, wanting to feel joy and feeling lower. We can place consciously, we can place those kinds of frequencies out in the world. I'm going to jump around and talk about my next show, A Paradigm Shifter, with Lydia Hibby, and I pre-recorded this one a couple of days ago, and asked her about certain animals because I knew we couldn't do a live call-in show. She's always busy at this time of day. And I'll tell you more about her when my caller finishes. So you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello, Veronica. It's Sasha from Canada.
Hi, Sasha from Canada. How nice to hear your voice.
Nice to talk to you, too.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. And I think today's show sort of thematically continues to touch upon or around my question. So I thought, well, I'll call in and see.
Good. What's your question? You're looking good, actually.
I feel good. I feel amazing. And there's a lot happening. So I don't even know how specific a question it is. It's more kind of vague, I think. It's a lot of the changes that have been happening in my understanding of trust and compassion and relationship have been intense and beautiful, and I'm just constantly surprised. And I'm really enjoying every moment of the process. And there are moments also that I feel acutely as though I'm at a precipice. Certainly lately, which doesn't take away from all the wonderful things I'm learning, but there is also a question of, when do I go over this precipice?
Do you know what the precipice is?
It seems to be around relationship and my future, the sort of world or career or changes in my lifestyle that I want to create. And they're intertwined, I sense.
Well, you know what's hilarious? When I'm looking at Sasha, I see this incredible light changing and becoming much more solid. And around the clavicle and the base of the neck at the front, you're much more, it's a funny place to say grounded, but I want to say grounded there. Mm. And that you're actually stocking up on having the ability to kind of fly without losing it. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And it seems like there are huge changes coming in January, actually. Mm. I don't see it as a precipice.
No, I don't even know that that's the right word. But
well, to me, the precipice has a kind of a little bit of a dire connotation. But when I look at this, it's like big changes, different involvements with people. And actually, you never did change your job, did you? Sasha called in before.
No.
Because, again, it looks like a different job or a different job in the context of the job you're doing now, as if you'd be involved in a totally different way of being and a different understanding of who you are in the context of what you're doing. Mm. And sometimes that's the greatest change in the universe. You know that.
Changing
the context? Different about who I am. And so here's the job. Maybe it's the same job, but you're very different, and I see you stepping over in a different direction. It doesn't look like it's the same job, but it's related, and you're talking to a whole different kind of person. So you have a whole different way of functioning. Some of the people you're going to be working with are pretty depressed, I would say, but you're not. You're doing something that's not remedial. You're helping people. You're going to do some kind of service that requires a huge innovation. Mm. I wonder if the precipice is talking about some big shift in our in the economic climate or in the, you know what I mean?
Right.
Something that was stable is no longer stable.
Right.
And
I'm not uncomfortable with the instability, and I'm being very aware of the fact that I am technically, externally, in the same place that I was, and internally, I don't even recognize most of myself anymore, and I'm A-okay with that.
But well, you've really gotten strong.
It feels amazing. And I think, you know what, there's so much more to come. How and what is it? How and what?
I feel like you're just being set up within yourself because you've consciously taken on evolving and becoming more of a whole creative being, and you will step forward to do something with that kind of power.
Right.
And it is power. You know, I'm not sure if you'll do a show or a, I don't know, but you're going to be involved with other people that need you to do something.
I'm becoming more comfortable in my own power, so I'm okay with that idea.
It's wonderful.
It is.
And for people who don't know, Sasha had heart surgery a while back. She's a young lady who's very beautiful, and she had to get her heart bionically designed, right?
Yeah. The changes in my heart and my relationship with people and my genuine experience of compassion are huge. They knocked me completely on my butt.
But,
but I couldn't have done it without that experience.
And I feel like also there's a leadership role coming up, which is someone who, in this case, designs a new way of being and offers that to other people and works with people.
For me?
You're very humble, but you'll still have a leadership role. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I would
like to be humble?
I like to be humble. To me is a little bit allowing other people their space. And not being vainglorious, but I do enjoy growing more into my power, and I would like to be a leader.
I believe that you're going to create something that you also lead. So it's very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And I want you to get back to writing. Are you writing?
No.
I just feel I look at you and go, you're so creative. Think about this, everybody at home. When you're that creative, you really should be doing something because it turns a crank inside of yourself, and the meaning of who you are gets much more clear. I'm so happy to hear your voice from Vancouver, Canada.
I've been listening every week, and it's just amazing. The Paradigm Shifters and you are just wonderful, and I haven't always responded or called in, but I'm really, really enjoying all of it.
Thank you, Sasha. You could tell I needed callers today.
You're wonderful.
Thank you, sweetie. So
thank
are you.
You so
and
much.
Happy, wonderful season.
Yes, you too. Love you.
Right. Love you too. Bye-bye. Well, that was a wonderful, flattering call. I like a little flattery now and again, don't you? So I just wanted to say quickly about Lydia Hibby, who's on, she's a pre-recorded paradigm shifter right after this. And I think you're going to like her. And I asked her questions about specific animals, including our little junior, who's a little Maltese, who came to us at 11. 10 and a half or something, and asked what his motivation is. I'm not going to tell you what she said. You have to listen to the show. And she also spoke about two cats that are in my world through a friend who's a client as well, and I go to her house fairly often to do gatherings, workshops. And she was going to give her cats up because they're old and they're very fat, and they keep urinating in strange places because they're upset about something. But what she had to say, Lydia Hibby goes into their mind and talks with them specifically, intuitively. And I went down to my friend's house on Saturday, and those cats were changed animals. And their mother, of course, is over the moon, very happy, and is keeping them. But it does remind you that consciousness is an interesting thing. It travels, according to Aravinda, faster than the speed of light. And when I arrived at her place on Saturday after talking to Lydia on Thursday, I was shocked at the vivid interactions with these cats that had been so sluggish before then. They felt heard, seen, known, recognized, consciously attuned. So I just want to say this is a wonderful show coming up, and I hope you can stay on, stay attuned at 5 o'clock for Lydia Hibby. And let's see, Thursday night I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti and the team again. I'm really looking forward to that. I've been interviewing the team and finding out who, she calls them her ET team. It's called ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And we've been asking the team all kinds of questions about what their life is, what's consciousness for them, and how do we get where we need to go. And basically I'm always asking who they are and where they're from and what's going on. It's a wonderful show, and Jackie herself is a perspicacious healer woman who will change your life when you listen to that show. So that's Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And then next week I'm going to have on Robert Friedman, again a pre-record. He and I pre-recorded it the other day. He wrote a book, co-wrote a book with Eckhart Tolle, and it's for children. It's aimed at the 4 to 8 range, but adults love this book as well. It's called Milton's Secret, and it's learning the power of now, little kids learning the power of now, and he explains the power of now as that light that is inside of the now, right now, the presence in the now. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. So if you have any kids on your Christmas list or your any of the big celebrations that are up right now, I just went blank, list, I really recommend Milton's Secret. You can check out, I guess you can get it on Amazon really easily, or you can get it on HamptonRoadsPublishing.com. That's where it comes from, and Bob Friedman is actually the publisher at Hampton Roads. Talking about consciousness and children, this book is really a nice leg up. So I'm wishing you all the very best, and I will be not on Paradigm Shifters Live because it's a pre-record, but I'd sure love some feedback. If you'd like a session with me, or if you'd like to have suggestions or feedback on any of the show's suggestions for guests that you'd like to bring on, or if you'd like whatever you'd like. I love feedback from you. Thank you so much for the callers today. I needed to be interacted with. You can phone me at 510-595-5564, 510-595-5564, or email me, veronica@veronicaentwistlenoh.com, veronica@veronicaentwistlenoh.com. And I sure look forward to seeing you on Radiance by Design next Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And remember, it's all about love, isn't it? Consciousness is all about learning to love, let go, and let expansion run through us all, from me to you, you to me, and all over the world. Many blessings.